Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the kenmoreteam.com, on the web there at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Oh, keeping busy.
Yeah, you are. Chasing kids around. A lot of football going on over there. You are busy.
Mm-hmm. Very proud of both the kids, Dylan at Kamiakin, and our little girl, Harley, who's playing quarterback for her grid kid team.
We figure that out in here. Coming from myself, who has a girl that plays hockey, I know what you're talking about over there. That's fun to watch. And back with us, we gave him a week off, but no more than that. So
I'm back.
Back in the studio, we've got Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. I had a little vacation last week, all recharged. We went over to Fort Stevens on the coast, did some camping, and I forgot how much I love that campground.
Absolutely. Nice spot over there.
Yeah,
huh?
It's beautiful. There's bike trails all over, and there's that shipwreck on the beach, and there's a lake, and
the
military base over there, it's like decommissioned. It's really cool.
Pacific Northwest. I mean, when you look at all the spots we can be to in a couple hours, yeah, it is absolutely
fun to look at.
Fantastic. Last week, while you were gone, we had Ryan Hone with Top Tree in here, and actually, Ryan wanted me to pass on a thank you to the listeners. He got two or three jobs right after the show had aired, though, of people that called into Top Tree. So he just wanted me to say thanks to the listeners for that support and enjoyed being on the show. So we learned about some trees, Tom, while you were gone.
Well, I see his trucks pass by my house all the time. He lives out there, you know. So
absolutely.
And I have a few big ones in my yard that I'm going to need him to come tackle one of these days.
You're going to need him to come up there pretty soon. Well, we always like to start off with a local real estate story and a national real estate story. Now this one I did a little bit of research on. So I saw some things on Facebook last week about a study that was done that Spokane was on this list of the third most least desirable city to live in. And I'm like, you know, that's just shocking to me. What's this story about? So for the radio show this week, I'm like, I'm going to do a little research and see what this is. And I don't know if the results are better than what I was seeing online. But Tom, the reality of the story is I looked it up. This was a poll that was done by Travel and Leisure magazine, mm-hmm. In a Fox News. And actually, it was talking about the attractiveness, and not of the city, but the people in the city.
Really? We had that story on our website, too, and it was all about the population. They said the city was beautiful, the people were ugly, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I clarified it was any better. Now, the most attractive people...
Please tell me you have a list of most attractive cities.
I do. I brought that with me to verify. Yes.
Spokane's not on this list?
No, they were on the least attractive list, number three. Number one, and this probably makes a little bit of sense, number one, Honolulu.
I can see that.
Yep, absolutely. Number two, Boulder, Colorado. So representing here in the West a little bit.
I'm picturing like active cities where they're hiking or on the beach.
Yeah, people are in great shape and active. Followed by number three, and I have vacationed here quite a few times. Number three, Scottsdale, Arizona. Uh-huh. And number four, Salt Lake City, Utah, followed by San Diego. And then finally, we have an eastern city come into play, Nashville, Tennessee, number six, Charleston, South Carolina, number seven, and then back to Colorado, number eight for Denver.
So how are they determining?
I was a poll done by the readers on the website. Okay. You know, when I really dug into it, I don't think it was very scientific.
It's like some kid sitting in the mall.
What city do you think has attractive people? So obviously somebody did not like Spokane.
I think Spokane's beautiful. I haven't paid attention to the people.
Right. We're married guys. We can't. Yeah, this is not a poll for us. So that was for our single listeners out there. So there you go. National and story number two. I always like to get in on the national. Just a crazy real estate house story, and off of straight out of for sale, pulled off of Zillow.com this week. We have got a replicated castle in Vermont. That hit the market. So Vermont, known from some of their granite, some of their rock quarries out there, this is actually borders an 8,000-acre nature preserve. The property was built on 240 acres, and it is a replica castle, and they took a bunch of the Glimmerstone granite. They actually milled the granite from the rock on the property that went into this castle. Now, mind you, at 8,000 square feet and all of that granite and the cost, to own your own castle is not going to be cheap. We're talking $4.3 million. I'm thinking this place has bed and breakfast written all over it.
Purchase
that baby.
Granite walls.
Granite. Go out there. Stay in your own castle. Yep. I think that's the way to go there.
There is a tremendous amount of value to have a property bordering like a state land or in this one a rec land or whatever.
Absolutely.
You have access to all that extra property.
Yeah, and that really brings up, you know, when you're looking at locations and looking at purchases and paying attention to what's going on around you can really lead to a bunch of different values. So we always come with a topic, and the topic this week that I wanted to get into and really go over with folks, and we had had a couple stories from the last couple weeks that we had heard, was and that is getting the most value from your agents, even in a seller's market. Because a lot of things that happen is obviously there's been a lot of studies out, there's been a lot of news stories, there's been a lot of headlines that we have been in a very fast-paced, quick-moving market. So a lot of times when that happens, I think people are more interested in potentially trying some of those things, maybe unrepresented, maybe without an agent, and going over that. So I just wanted to hit some of the highlights of utilizing an agent, even in that market, and what that can mean for you based on an experience level. So I thought I'd start the show off this week with one of my favorite stories of all time. So there was a maintenance worker, and he worked at one of these huge production plants. And he had worked there for 35 years and done maintenance on the plant. Well, he finally retired. And he retired, and he was off for 3 months. And all of a sudden, he gets a call from his previous employer. And he's like, hey, sorry to bother you. I know you retired, but the plant has been down for 3 straight days. We can't get the plant restarted. It's costing us about $100,000 a day. We've had everybody look at it. We're out of options. Can you come take a look at it? He goes, you know what? Absolutely. I actually started my own consulting business. I would be glad to come in there and take a look and see what I can do. So he goes down to the plant. He's walking around for about an hour. He's looking at different stuff on the plant. He comes up to a valve bank of valves, and he pulls out a hammer, and he hits the bottom of this valve a couple times. Boom. Everything goes back to working. He goes, oh, that was always a little bit of a sticky valve there. And absolutely. And they're like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. Well, a week goes by, and the plant supervisor gets a bill in the mail, and it just says, fixing the plant, line item, $50,000. Well, the plant supervisor is like, whoa, hold on a second. So he calls the maintenance worker, and he's like, hey, I know this is a little crazy, but, you know, I'm going to have to present this to the board and everything, and I need you to itemize your bill. I can't just say, here's a bill for $50,000. And so the guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll shoot you over a quick email. So within like 10 minutes, the plant supervisor gets an email, and he goes, it says item number one, hammer, $10. And then there's just item number two, knowing where to use the hammer, $49,990. And that was the itemization of the bill. But it really demonstrates knowledge-based experience. Like, what was that worth, that experience, when they're, you know, burning up $100,000 a day, not operating the plant, and somebody, you know, was able to fix it for that? And that experience factor, you know, really comes into play in the real estate market also. So one of the first things I wanted to really talk about a little bit is what happens in a hot market like we have now. Well, I'll tell you, good, bad, or indifferent, what exactly happens in a hot market like that is a lot of people think it's really easy to be a real estate agent or a lender. because they're just like, well, gosh, this is, you know, should be a no-brainer, right? Like, I saw that guy, and he put a sign up in that house, and 2 days later, he put up a sold sign. I can do that, right? Like, it's not that hard, right, Tom? I can dig the hole. Right, and there might be some things going on in the back. But what happens? Easy to get into the business, absolutely. It's what we call low barrier to entry. I mean, you take your 90 clock hours and you pass your test, and then you're sign up at a brokerage and you're thrown out into the business. And let me tell you how much that 90 clock hours, good, bad, or indifferent, and maybe a little bit bad, has to do with actually a deal that you're going to go through and do. There's a lot of stuff missing from that test and what really happens in those deals. So I did a little research. NAR, number one reason real estate agents leave the business is because they aren't making enough money. The median salary for an agent is $35,000 a year. And then you've got to subtract business expenses from that, sign, gas, time. So now what you have happening in a real hot real estate market is you have a lot of new people in the business, and then they're not making very much money according to these statistics. And I know they're very accurate. This data source from, you know, National Association of Realtors, they're not making very good money. So now when they're in a deal and they're working in a transaction, are they making decisions based upon experience, which they don't have? And then number two, are they making decisions for the wrong reasons because they might not be having a support system to make it and they really need that money for that transaction? So it's a really difficult place to be in. And a lot of times I see people in that situation in a really hot market where they need to look at having somebody that has support behind them, has a team behind them, knows that their agents are making those decisions based upon experience factor of that agent and that team. And so I went down and I listed what are some of the things in the background that happen that you don't see right up front. That's not just the sign and the sold sign. Like, what else is going on in those transactions? Number one thing I wrote down is that we have solutions based upon previous results. And so there's things that can happen. There is moving timeframes that happen. There is negotiations that can happen. You know, we just had one a couple days ago where I sat down with a couple and, you know, and I said, okay, here's where the closing date is. Where's your new house at? Well, we're purchasing a new house. Okay, great. So you're going to purchase your new house. When this house closes at Tuesday, because they had told me right off the bat, we love this offer, we want to accept it. And I said, okay, so your house closes Tuesday at 9 p.m. You have to be out of that house. Where are you going? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. We never thought about that. We just, you know, our new house doesn't close till Friday. So we had to walk through those scenarios of how we could solve that problem. Okay, so maybe instead of accepting this offer, maybe I need to make some phone calls and see if your buyer is willing to close on Friday. And if they're willing to close on Friday, you know, in the morning run, then we can have those 6 or 7 hours to move. Probably ended up saving them either all of their stuff in a moving van or putting their stuff into storage. But those are problems we can anticipate and have a solution to because we've had those previous results. So that ends up making a huge, huge difference. Next thing that I wrote down, and this happens all the time, is anticipating problems before they occur. And so one of those things that happens, for instance, is people will say, gosh, I had to be out of my old house. Can you ask the seller? That house is vacant. I would love to move in and rent that house for 4 days prior to it closing on Friday, and that would just really help me out a lot. Can we do that? Well, there's like all of a sudden this opens up a huge can of worms with a bunch of different legal issues, and then you have tenancy issues. And then what happens in those situations is you say, okay, sure, let me talk to the seller. Maybe the seller agrees to that, but maybe the seller also doesn't know what they're agreeing to. So for instance, the seller is contractually obligated to have systems and fixtures that were working at the time of closing. So a seller says, yeah, you know what? I'll be a nice guy. Actually, go ahead, move into the house. You can 4 days early and you can just no rent. Go ahead. Great. So a tenant moves into the house. So they use the stove. Day one, the stove works great. Day two, the stove works great. Day three, we're not closed yet, but the tenant calls or the buyer calls and says, hey, stove's not working. So the seller's like, well, gosh, I was the nice guy. I let you stay there for no rent. Sorry, the stove didn't work, but, you know, that's if it would have worked if you hadn't been using it those other 2 days. So then the buyer is like, no, no, no. Contractually, you have to have a new stove in. We haven't closed yet, and you have to have that system in place before closing. So people, when I explain these situations to people, they're like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea, or I didn't think or anticipate that those things could come up. So with that experience factor is we've been through those situations. We've seen some of those things happen.
Long time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so we use that to anticipate those problems, put some safeguards in place, put some language in place that wouldn't be there to help both parties know exactly what they're getting into. And a lot of times there's no problem. It's just that unless previously discussed, it is a problem. So, for instance, that buyer very well might have taken on the liability of, okay, great, whatever is working when I move in on Monday, even though we're not closed till Friday, I'm taking responsibility for it. They might be okay with that, and they might just do it. Or they might not want that responsibility and say, oh, I had no idea. It's not worth it. I'll just get a hotel for 2 or 3 days. And so you're really balancing those acts. But we find that if people know what's going to happen up front and then those issues are addressed, they can get taken care of, and they can get resolved. Before we come up on our first break, the last point to think about that we can talk about after we come back and talk to Tom a little bit is agents that have been in the business enjoy solid reputations with other agents. And a lot of times people are like, well, I have no idea why that matters. You know, I just want you to go in there and fight like heck for me and do that. And absolutely, that's what we're legally obligated to do in those representations. But sometimes in that representation, we can make things happen because they know it's a solid buyer or it's a solid seller coming from our team. And if there is an issue, they know that a lot of times that agent will be equipped to take care of the issue rather than not coming up with a solution. So those reputations with those agents make a big deal. We do some very unique things to help continue to foster that in the agent community. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom Coyne a little bit about value in his team and go over a few more of the practical points you can use to maximize and get the best results out of the agent you're working with.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking today about leveraging, getting the value from your service providers when you use a real estate team like the Kenmore team and your agent, and then also working with a great lender like Tom at Umpqua. Tom, that's one of the things I had actually written down on that experience factor. We talked a little bit about what do you get other than the yard sign and the sold sign? What is that experience factor worth? And one of those things that really ties in that I had written down, and that is having time-tested vendors, you know, working with people that you know can deliver. And so if someone has, you know, delivered 20 straight files to you and you get a pre-approval letter from them, it's pretty high probability that the 21st and the 22nd are going to close. So,
or in our case, the 105th.
The 105th. Yeah, exactly. And so it's nice to just have that so that we know when we send our customers there, we know what we're getting. So I'm going to turn it over to you a little bit and just explain, how do people get those results like they do from your team?
Of course, they offer a loan and they offer financing for the client to go purchase a house. But I fully think that it's the lender's duty to provide the client with honest and reliable guidance and to try to make that home buying process as stress-free as possible so that they look back and they think, you know what, wow, that went pretty easy and everything was smooth. I didn't have all this stress and I don't look back at it and have nightmares. It doesn't keep me up at night. It just went like it should. And I think that's the lender's responsibility to do that. Now, the loan officer you select is going to be the sole person responsible for making that happen. So if it doesn't go smooth, it's your loan officer's fault. If it goes smooth, it's, they're the one to thank. So it's really, really important to pick someone who has that service-oriented mindset for their clients. Now, I think service is really what differentiates me from our, or my team from our competitors. And I can usually tell within minutes of meeting with somebody if they've had a bad experience in the past. Lance, you've heard it before. My loan officer, they're not calling me back. Or they've come back to me 8 times and asked for the same thing. Or we're closing 4 days late. I just found out today we're supposed to be getting our keys today. I mean, these are all the things that we hear over and over and over again from clients. Unfortunately, a lot of times you don't know that the person you're working with has a track record of bad customer service until it's too late. You're already in the transaction and you selected that. So always look for, you know, referrals from your friends, your family, your real estate agent. Go online and search for reviews. All these things are going to give you a good indicator of the type of service that person offers. Now, a part of the service for us, and really at the core of it, is exceptional communication. It's what we focus on every single file. Now, this starts at the very start of the application. The client comes in, we're going through their options, and we tell them exactly what is their best option and why it's their best option. We go through everything to expect from day one on processing a loan to day 30. And we do regular updates throughout processing so they're kept up to date throughout the transaction. There's nothing worse I could think from my perspective than a client 2.5 weeks go by. They've never heard from the lender. They're assuming everything's going fine, but little do they know there's all these issues in the background. Well, if the lender's keeping the client up to date, it really puts a little bit of, kind of holds the lender a little bit more accountable to make sure things are going smooth. Because if they're not, you're going to tell that to your client and they're going to get on you about it. So it's really, really important to us that we have excellent communication with our clients, and the feedback we get from that is really, really positive. Now, aside from the service part of it, we just talked about it with you, Lance, and it's that experience that you get from my team and myself. I've been doing loans since I was 19 years old. It's really all I've ever been doing, and I love doing it. I'm passionate about it, but I can generally sit down and talk with a client and tell within minutes of speaking to them what is going to be their best option. And then the experience that we have helps us know what questions to ask and helps us look for things that could potentially be uncovered weeks down the road that could throw a wrench in our spokes here, if you will, and cause issues in a transaction. And until that we have this experience, and it only comes from years and years of experience and thousands of loan transactions that we've done, do you know the things to look for so that you could prevent those issues from coming up before they arise?
That is huge, because a lot of times there's things you just know the right questions to ask. Mm-hmm. I train with our staff all the time about what questions are you not asking that you should have been. And those that's from experience. That mm-hmm. really is. And I think a lot of times the worst thing you can have is you can have a service provider or a loan officer that's afraid to ask those questions.
Yep.
And I don't know why that would be the case with somebody, but we run into that all the time. Why didn't you ask them what was going on here? What was happening there?
Well, I think so many people, they just want to get that transaction in the door. You know, it's just a numbers game. I need to get some loans in the pipeline. I don't care how we get it started. We want to get a loan started. And they don't take that same amount of time up front to make sure that you're uncovering any potential issues that could come up. And that's really all about offering the clients the best service.
And I know there's been times, I mean, it's few and far between, but it's the best call we can get. There's been times where we've met, you know, sent clients to meet with you, and you'll call us 2 days later and you'll be like, hey, I met with the client. They're going to call you and give you a rundown. I think they're going to need a little more time, you know, and talk to them about that. And, you know, the client will say, hey, we met with Tom. We thought we were ready, but we need 3 more months so that we can get this program going. And, you know, those are sometimes the best calls we can get. I'd much rather know on day one or two than I would after someone has spent money on an inspection, or they think they're going to get something, or they're 8 days from closing, you know, and they don't have everything they need in the file. So good points that you bring up there, Tom. Before we get to my last couple points, I definitely want to get our pick three in there on property. We have some fantastic new listings. 4810 Starburst Court. This is out in West Richland, Candy Mountain. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler with a basement, 3,260 square feet. absolutely amazing panoramic views. You get those great quality views. This is Gale Roux constructed, beautiful laminate hardwood floors, sunken living room, stainless steel appliances in the kitchen, breakfast bar, quartz countertops. This place is just absolutely dialed in. Huge family room on the lower level, large third and fourth bedrooms down there, and a huge deck off of the main level with a covered patio on the lower level. This is coming in at $425,000. So in that part of West Richland, absolutely fantastic value there. Pick number two, 4217 West 2nd Avenue in Kennewick. This is a two-bedroom, two-bath townhome in West Kennewick. 1,225 square feet, large living room, opens up to the kitchen. You got granite tile counters, great breakfast bar, split bedroom design for privacy, and you've got the master suite with the private bathroom. HOA dues, $75 a month. That's going to cover your irrigation, your lawn mowing, and your snow removal. You're close to everything. This is park and live, Tom. Absolutely park and live. $165,000.
Wow.
Hard to find good condition, newer property for $165,000. And then pick number three, this is just a lot of space for the money. West Pasco, 4508 Palo Verde Court. Five-bedroom, three-bath home. You've got new interior paint and carpeting, 2,300 square feet, open layout, large living room, formal dining, big master bedroom with walk-in closet. Lower level, you've got a family room, fourth and fifth bedrooms, and a full bath, fence backyard, and that's coming in $229,900. So there's some great inventory out there. We've talked about where we've been needing the inventory. Because we still are in that cycle where we have lower homes on the market. Just updated everything the last day or so, and we're still running in that mid 700 range, which puts us well below where we were this time last year.
So it's gotten a little bit better since the start of the year, but still not great.
Exactly. It has gotten a little bit better. There's been some new construction. There's finally been some developments where we're getting some lots, and there's some new inventory coming on, but it's still well below where we were this time last year. So absolutely still needing new inventory like those picks that we just went over. Last point that I wrote down here to kind of wrap up the show, as we talked about getting the most out of the agent you pick, getting the most out of the team that you're with, and that is and has to do with the inventory and what we're looking at there. I wrote down understanding the complexities of a changing market. And that is just really knowing the changes that you have to make on the fly and some of those things that you have to do. For instance, when you're pricing out properties and you're looking at those comparables, there's times where you have to know the market data dictates that you might not be priced right in where the market is. So, for instance, things could be changing so fast that you look at comparable sales, and the last three comparable sales were, you know, 165, 167, you know, 168. And you look at the trend and maybe you go back over 4 months and those were at 159. And you see there's nothing available at that. Well, now there might be no good comp data that can logically say you can get 171. But should you push that envelope a little bit? Do you have some amenities that will support it? Can you think that there's an argument for an appraiser to be able to appraise it at that price? And so taking all of those factors into play during a changing market is huge. I mean, that's just a big factor in being able to explain all of those situations.
Well, that scenario you just talked about is really leaving money on the table or not. If you didn't know that these three recent comps just sold, you could potentially be listed at 159.
Absolutely. And if you didn't know that you could potentially push that a little bit more, then you could be leaving a little bit on the table there. So you're balancing that. Only that experience can give you that balance of how far can you go without creating a problem for yourselves towards closing versus maximizing your return. So we'd be glad to chat with you. Our team of agents out there is just absolutely amazing, and they are just really, really busy right now, taking care of clients, getting new properties on the market to help with this inventory problem and helping the buyers with our buyer's agents get the best possible deal from the buyer side of the transaction. If you have any questions about what we went over today, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Tom, on the lending side of things, how can people get a hold of you?
You can call me at the office at 783-7300 or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.